We should always be looking for opportunities. As a matter of fact, many look for opportunities in a secular way. How can I further my career? Sometimes we look for opportunities when we're searching for a spouse. I want to make sure that I find one that is in the Lord. We look for opportunities when we're purchasing something. I want to make sure I get the right APR rate. You know, all types of things that we look for. We look for opportunities. And really what we ought to be also doing as we live a balanced life is look for opportunities to help people see Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, that's why we're here. Not in worship, but Ephesians 2 in verse number 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If anything, we are God's moral culture in the midst of an immoral world. Reminded of what Jesus said when he started his ministry as Mark, as he was talking to the Greeks, kind of bears out for us to consider. In Mark chapter 1, I love this particular passage. In Mark chapter 1 and verse number 38, the Bible says, "But he said to them, let us go into the next town." Why, Jesus? "That I may preach." I love that verse right there. I mean, it's just, it's obscure. We find the mind of Christ right there. We have a purpose. And really, friends, we have a purpose. We have a purpose of looking for opportunities. He says, I want to go and preach there also. For this cause, or this purpose, I have come forth. You go to the very next chapter and you look at verse number 1 and 2. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days and it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus was in the house. They knew that if we're going to get this paralytic to some type of healing, well, we got to get him to Jesus. But Jesus is inside of the house. Notice the next verse. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. What did Jesus do? And he preached the word to them. Another obscure passage. Here is the word preaching the word. You know, I thought about that and it kind of makes me kind of giggly sometimes when I read things like that. I'm like, this is something that's just so powerful and it's just situated right there in the text. Nothing wrong with Romans 8:31. Nothing wrong with Philippians 4 verse 4, Philippians 4 verse 13, Revelation 2:10. Those are great passages, but these are powerful passages too, because we see the mind of God. But this is what I want us to look at. Look at Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, I think about the trouble that the church was going through. The persecution. And that word persecution literally means to be chased, being pursued. Jesus had something to say about that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Blessed are they that are persecuted, that are chased. Oh yeah, you know, it is a blessing to be chased when you are following Christ. Oh yeah, they may harm you, they may do harm unto you, they may even kill you, but at least if you die, you die doing the will of God. But notice the church is under great persecution, verse 1. And notice what happened. They were scattered. Where? They were scattered to Judea and Samaria. This is in line with what Jesus told his apostles in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 on how the church was going to spread. They scattered. Notice the very next verse. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered, here it is, went everywhere preaching the word. One thing we know for a fact, that if we're going to take Christ to the world, maybe it's going to take some persecution. It may take some hardship. It may require us going through some hard times in order for us to stay on task. It is said that through suffering, through hardship, people rise to the occasion. You know, through injury, it seems like we bounce back stronger than what we were before. But notice the next verse. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. That's really why I want to bring my thought. Which we can safely conclude, friends, that preaching the word and preaching Christ are synonymous. One cannot preach Christ without preaching the word, and one cannot preach the word without preaching Christ. Who is this Christ? Oh, he's the Savior of the world, no doubt. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He's the one that didn't die just for the Jews, but also the Gentiles. He didn't die just for one race of people, but the human race. This is the Christ that we take to the world. But what should we do? We ought to be looking for opportunities. That's really what I was talking about earlier, right? Look at Colossians chapter 4. I just want us to take this line of reasoning before we get to where we really want to be tonight. In Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse number 2, here we see the Apostle Paul as he is discussing with the brethren at Colossae, this letter, if you will. Notice what he says to them, and brethren, if we're going to take Christ to the world, I believe we need to continue this. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door, Revelation 3. That was a powerful study this morning, young man. That was a powerful study. Let me go ahead and just throw this in. I know the elders are going to appreciate this. If y'all don't come to Bible class, start coming. You're missing out on some great things, right? That was a powerful study this morning. And the opportunities that God grant us when we're walking by faith, walking according to his will, doing what he has desired for us to do as it relates to living a holy life. Here, Paul, as he is telling the Colossian brethren, pray that God open a door for us. Why? That we may make a whole bunch of money. Is that in your text? That we may be able to go out and buy up all types of things. Is that in the text? Mm-mm. Notice what he says. For the word to speak. For the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Friends, that's why we ought to be asking God for wisdom. This is why we are here even tonight. I hope that you are encouraged just to be a Christian. We have an opportunity like none other. Friends, we live in a dark world. There is sin all around us, and it has always been sinful, which means that we ought to take advantage of these opportunities. When we go to the grocery store or recreation or wherever we are at work, take the opportunity to preach Christ. Oh, how about living Christ? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 as we continue to explore this concept. And it's nothing new. We've heard this before. In Philippians chapter 2, we understand that having the mind of Christ is vital if we're going to be successful. What do I mean? What do we mean by successful? Esteeming others better than self. Really, if you want to be successful, learn how to put others before you. That's true success. You know why I can prove that's successful? Because Jesus Christ put us before himself by giving his life for us. True success is learning how to go as low to the ground spiritually as possible that God in the end may raise you up. Verse 12, here it is. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, in order that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault. Here's the phrase. This is what I want us to focus in on. This is what's going to help us to preach Christ to those in our community, in our household, on our jobs, yea, even our enemies. The phrase, in the midst. Jesus used this particular phrase, remember in Matthew 18, when he told the little child to come and sit in the midst of them. He used that particular phrase. This phrase is also used in John chapter 19 and verse number 18. Jesus was in the midst of the people. Remember in Matthew chapter 10, we find that the ship was in the midst of the Sea of Galilee and the storm was going on in the midst. Oh, hold on. What does that teach us? God wants us in the midst of the darkness that we may shine. Oh, he doesn't want us to stay at home. He doesn't want us to get into some type of room by ourselves. He knows that if we can have his mentality, his attitude within our hearts, our feelings, our emotions, our intellect, we're going to take it out and we're going to shine because it's going to come out in our speech. It's going to come out in our lives. It's going to come out in everything that we do. And notice what Paul says to the Philippian brethren, that you may do what? Of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do we preach Christ? By living the life. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We continue this train of thought. And friends, the more I thought about this, the more I appreciate how simple sometimes, and I use the word sometimes, Christianity can be. There's some times in which we're on cloud nine when it comes to Christianity. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I had this 1976 Monte Carlo, Brother Dennis. Man, that thing ran. It was, woo, that was nice. Now and then, Brother Benson, spark plug foul out on it. But I take that spark plug out, and it had a lot of carbon buildup on it. I'm like, what's going on? I had a valve that was sticking on it, causing the spark plug to foul on that cylinder. And then it would run on seven cylinders instead of eight. Sometime in Christianity, we're running on seven. Oh, we need brethren to help us when we're running on that seven cylinder until that eighth cylinder get fixed, get repaired. You know, in our case, get that encouragement. Because at times in life, things are not going the way that we desire for them to go. Or then we may be in a dark place. Brother Omar, I was talking to him the other day. Mike and I was going to, I was taking him to the gym. And he brought up an excellent point in 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse number 19, how the Word of God shines in the dark place. You know, sometimes we need that encouragement. Sometimes I don't need you to just come over there and kind of shoot the breeze with me. I need you to come and share verses with me. Sometimes we may need just a hug or someone to hold our hand. But sometimes we need somebody to just give us the Word of God that it may shine in the midst of a dark place. He brought that up because Abraham was in a dark place in his life and he needed the Word. Sometimes we're in dark places in our lives. And isn't it ironic that when people, especially outside of the church, see Christians going through a dark time in their lives, what a perfect opportunity for us to shine. Oh, let me take that back, for Christ to shine. Right? People, we're trying to reach the lost. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, notice what Jesus said to these Galilean Jews, this sermon on the mountainside. He's sitting down and they're standing up and he's teaching them, just straight teaching right here. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Here it is. You are the light of the world. Question, don't answer loudly, of course. Are you the light? You ought to say yes. We are the light. And as long as we have the light of the glorious gospel in our hearts and we are applying it to our lives, we're doing the will of God. Friends, that ought to help us to help people who are in a dark place in their lives. You're the light of the world. The city is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, give it light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Friends, when we consider this and we think about preaching Christ, turn to Acts chapter 9. As we look at some concluding thoughts, I want us to consider. You think about a man that was in a very dark time of his life. Here he's persecuting the church. Yes, we're talking about Saul. He's persecuting the church, and we see what he has done to the church. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that he consented to what took place in the life of Stephen. Stephen just got stoned. He consented to that. We remember what took place. We understand that he was confronted by the Lord. But we see that he obeyed the gospel. I say that to say this. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, we see something. Brother Popejoy, began reading when I tell you to. Friends, whether you've been in the church 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years, or 50 years, we can teach people Christ. Now, that's my encouragement to our new brother, Brother Benson, and his wife. Glad that you're here with us. We want to encourage them. Encourage them to get in Christ, stay in Christ, get strong in Christ. And the Bible teaches us that Saul, grew in strength. And what does the Bible say?
And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God.
Wow. He did not wait. He went straight to it. You know, some people sometimes say, I don't know enough. I know one thing, you know more than what other people know out there. Let's just teach what we know. Let's live what we know. And let's have the courage to take what we know. Drop down to verse 22. This is a powerful passage right here. Why could Saul go out there and preach and teach? What does the Bible say? He grew in what? Strength. Oh, I don't think Paul was out there lifting weights. He grew in strength in Christ. This is the same man that said, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me, who strengthens me. Yes, he's talking about going with and without, but the principle still stands, friends. We can do it. Now, I said all that to say this. How do we help people? How should we help people? How did Jesus help people? Didn't Jesus go about healing? Brother Bonner, that was miraculous. Then get the point that he's making with us today. That this individual came to him, needed some assistance, needed some help, and here Jesus is glorifying God. He helps that individual. Well, what are we doing? Shouldn't we be helping individuals? Nothing miraculous about helping someone with food, helping them going through a problem, helping them in their lifestyle. Nothing miraculous about that, but here it is. We can help people get better. And if we want our world to get better around us, that requires us helping people where they are and bringing them where God wants them to be. Not where we want them to be, but where God wants them to be. He's the one that gives the increase. Reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as it relates to Apollos and himself, Paul. He said, they're nothing, I'm nothing. It's God that gives the increase. And truth be told, we're just vessels doing what God desires for us to do. I said all that to say this. Do y'all want 9th and Main to grow? Just go like this. Just go like this, y'all. Yes? Why y'all looking at me like that? Yes? Okay. Maybe some of us. Some of them, Brother Dennis, doesn't want 9th and Main to grow. That's fine. Those of us who do want 9th and Main to grow, let's go out and let's help people. Because there are people out there in a dark place right now. And they need encouragement. They need the word of God. No, they don't need it slapped on them. We need to take it to them, teach them in love, show them what God's word say, and show them in a way that they can have an understanding. And we can say, in all thy getting, get an understanding. Help them. We want Knife and Main to grow spiritually and numerically. Why? Because the more people that come to Christ and the more people that are faithful, if they die, they will hear, well done. When is the last time that you invited someone to Bible class? I'm talking about 9:30 service. That would mean you would have to be here too to encourage them. When is the last time you invited them to Wednesday night Bible class? Let's invite. But Brother Bonner, what if they say no? Then invite someone else. What if they say no? Invite someone else. Keep inviting. Why? Because we want their soul to be saved, but we want them to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. So, do you want Ninth and Main to grow? I do. I want Ninth and Main to grow. Spiritually and numerically. But Brother Bonner, you don't understand. People around here, they know about Ninth and Main. Who cares? Let's talk to them, but let's talk to people who don't know about Ninth and Main. Let's talk to everybody. And let's talk Jesus up. And the more we talk about Jesus and the life that they can have, persecution and suffering that comes with it, the better this world will be. We can complain about how this world is, or we can get out there and we can make a difference. Jesus turned the world right side up with 12. I believe we can turn the world right side up with 79. The advantage is ours. Let's do our part. Let's preach Christ to them. And then allow them to make a decision if they want to come to God. Let's pray. Great God and Father, you're holy God, you're truthful God, you're God that does all things well. And Father, for that, we're thankful. Father, we ask that you continue to be with us, not only when we come and we worship you in spirit and in truth, but when we go home. Help us to spend time with you. Ponder your word that it may help us in our thinking, that we may look for opportunities not only to get your word out, but to show people that Christ lives in us. And help us, Father, to study, not to prove an argument, but to have Christ living in us. That we may not only influence our families, our co-workers, those in whom we come in contact with, but even those who may not like us, for the stance that we take concerning your word. Help us to always be a peaceful people, people who are praying for our government and praying for our employers and employees. Help us to always be those type of people who are looking for opportunities to help people in a dark place in life. Father, we know that there's great darkness around us. Individuals who are strung out on drugs and alcohol, who are permissive in their activities sexually. Help us to confront them and encourage them and help them. Not talk about them, but help them. Help us to be a people that help people out of the fire and not push people in the fire. Help us to be those type of people. And Father, help us to learn how to repent when we need to. And when we go to your word and it confronts us and we find ourselves wanting and lacking, wrong, and we have the strength to say, I'm sorry. That we can do better. Father, help us to preach Christ to one another For those of us who are in Christ need your son just as much as those who are outside. Help us to comfort one another with those type of words. Father, we're thankful for the men that serve here in every capacity. We're thankful for the sisters who do their best to help the church go forward. But Father, like in all things, we need more men to step up. We need more sisters to help out. We need more mothers to take the responsibility of motherhood, and fathers to take that responsibility of fatherhood seriously, and children to be children and to wait their opportunity to be parents, to be leaders. Father, help us to take Christ to the world. Father, we ask that you just help us to be humble. Help us to realize we don't know it all, but that you do. That your way is the best way, even when we don't understand it. We love you, Father. We're thankful for you. We're thankful to you for your son. We praise you for your word. That it's unadulterated, it doesn't change, and we can trust it. When there's darkness and lies around us, we can trust your word. Please forgive us, help us to just preach and teach Christ. Bless us, Father. Bless Ninth and Main. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God is good to us. And I hope, pray, and trust that we always realize how good God is to us. And that we do our level best to help people to see that God has been good to them even though they don't recognize it. So if you're not a child of God, we want you to consider studying with us. Maybe you already been studying with someone. I don't know. But I do know this. The religion that God set up is a religion of instruction. It's a religion that draws people through righteous instruction. And it's through that instruction that we get to learn about who God is. And he draws us through Jesus Christ, John chapter 5, verses 44 through verse 46. And when we're drawn, then we make that claim. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We will baptize you into Christ. You'll have all your sins washed away. He'll add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. You live faithful even to the point of death, and God himself will give you the crown of life. What a blessing. Maybe you're a child of God and, well, you haven't been teaching and preaching Christ. Maybe you haven't been living Christ. Well, let's repent. Because Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, shall all likewise perish. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.